section by section. We're looking at Galatians 4, verse 8 and following, where we see God placing before us a passionate call to persevere. Here we have a call to continue in the path of faith until we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Please stand as we read from the Word of God. Hear the inspired Word of God, spoken through the Apostle Paul to the Galatians and preserved for us. Galatians 4, 8 and following. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers, become like me, for I became like you. You have done me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus Himself. What has happened to all your joy? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may be zealous for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, and not just when I am with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tune, because I am perplexed about you. This ends the reading of God's Word. May He enlighten our minds. Please be seated. Today it seems like everyone wants things and wants them now. It just seems that our society has taken upon a mentality of wanting things immediately, expecting immediate results. For example, you think about what kind of businesses and services and their names that we have out in our society. For example, we have Jiffy Lube, Quick Copy Service, and all the fast food chain restaurants with like McDonald's and their 3-minute hamburgers. We have drive-through banks, Speedy Muffler, at 10 locations, by the way. I check my Yellow Pages for the Baltimore area under the word Speed or Speedy. We got Speed Wash Laundromat, Speed Wash Fabric Care Center, Speedy Carry Out, Speedy Cleaners, as I said, Speedy Muffler at 10 locations, Speedy Oil, Speedy Post, Speedy Printing Center, Speedy Signorama USA at 3 locations, Speedy Valet Parking. We come to a passage like this, or a book like this, and we're reminded that God passionately calls us not to some quick and speedy results, but God passionately calls us to patiently persevere, continuing in the path of faith, day in and day out, until finally, ultimately, and fully, we become like our glorious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Galatians 4 is a call to perseverance, a passionate call for us to continue in the path of faith. The general message and often repeated message by Paul to the Galatians is found in Galatians 2:20, a familiar verse to us. As part of it says, Paul says, "The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." There we see in this verse Paul saying something about the way he addressed life. He says, "The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God." And Galatians 4 calls us to continue living our lives through faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. What is God passionately calling us to do? He's calling us to keep trusting in Jesus Christ. That's how we're to go through this life. To keep trusting in Jesus Christ for your salvation and for your forgiveness. God calls you to keep trusting in Jesus Christ for your sanctification, for your improvement and growth as a person individually. God calls you to keep trusting Christ for your acceptance in this world before God. To keep trusting Christ for your usefulness to God and to your family and to society at large. God calls us to keep on continually in the path of faith, trusting in Jesus alone if we're to expect any blessings to flow to us or through us. In a phrase, we are to continue in the path of faith. How important is God's call to continue in the path of faith? We see this, it was very important to Paul because we see some of the language he used in this section. Look in verse 11, for instance, where he says, "I fear for you." In verse 12, Paul says, "I plead with you, brothers." And in verse 19, we see the passion of Paul's call when he says, "My dear children, I am again in pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." Paul reaches for the strongest language that he could get a hold of. And many of you mothers can identify with what it means to have the pains of childbirth as you think of the great anguish and internal pain and the transition of labor that you went through. In verse 19, Paul says, "My dear children, I'm again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." He was passionately concerned as the Apostle Paul thought about the Galatian believers drifting from the path of faith. Like a child who wanders off the sidewalk and starts walking out into the street, God, like a mother, is passionately concerned as you begin to drift from the sidewalk, as it were, off the path. Why was Paul so passionately concerned about the Galatians? What was so distressing to Paul about their drifting? Well, he says a number of things in this section. One of them has to do with the fact that verse 11, Paul says, "I fear for you that somehow I've wasted my efforts on you." Paul was afraid that all the Galatians had become involved in was a waste of time in terms of their part. That everything that he had tried to invest in them and minister to them, that now they had wandered from the path and it was all for nothing. That it was a total waste. If I may paraphrase verse 11 for you, Paul, I believe, is saying something like this. If you're not going to continue in the path of faith, if you're not going to keep trusting in Jesus Christ alone and relying only upon Him for God's blessing, then I'm just wasting my time, and of course, you're wasting yours. Jesus said it this way. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And it's as true, just as true back in the first century as it is today. Without Christ, there's nothing that we can do. And so it's extremely important that we continue to keep our faith and confidence in Him and not wander from that faith. You know, I heard of a child one time who wasted his time and efforts. He was in the kitchen alone, wanting a drink, being extremely thirsty. The problem was there was no adult there to help him get his drink. And all he saw was a very large, heavy pitcher of Kool-Aid on the counter. And so he decides to satisfy his thirst in his own strength. Well, of course, the pitcher's way too heavy and you can't budget. But he still is determined to use his own strength to get to that Kool-Aid. And so he reaches over in the corner of the kitchen and gets a huge spoon. A large sifting spoon. You know, the kind with holes in the bottom. Well, he didn't realize it was a straining spoon, so he's working frantically, dipping the Kool-Aid, trying to dip the Kool-Aid out of that heavy pitcher into his little cup. Dipping away and dipping away, till finally it dawned on him that there was a problem. It dawned on him that all his energies and efforts were being wasted because he had the wrong kind of spoon. In the same way, we must continue in the path of faith, trusting Jesus Christ in all that we do. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time and our energy. If you aren't living your life linked with a faith in Jesus Christ, depending upon Him for your justification, for your growth, or for the blessings to come to you and to the people around you, you're wasting your time. It's like a spoon with holes in it. Why was Paul's plea so passionate? Why was he concerned about the people continuing in the path of faith? Well, indeed, they were wasting their time. And one of the ways specifically they were wasting their time in a primary way was that they were observing certain days and certain seasons of the year, thinking that somehow if they invested themselves in these rituals, that God's blessing would come to them that way. Look at it in verse 10, where he says, "You are observing special days and months and seasons and years." And then he says, "I fear for you that somehow I've wasted my efforts." Well, the Galatians, what were they doing? Well, they were observing religious days, such as perhaps Passover, celebrating maybe Pentecost or the Feast of Trumpets or new moons, monthly celebrations, even perhaps sabbatical, the sabbatical year, which was, these were things that were mentioned and required in the Old Testament. And they were observing these things, thinking that somehow God might give His blessing upon them. If they trusted in Christ, and plus if they did these ritual things, then maybe God would give them an extra measure of blessing. Or whatever their thinking was in that regard, Paul was not too pleased, because he knew it was like spooning, trying to spoon out the blessings of God through rituals and through ceremony and through Old Testament laws that had been already fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And what they really needed was to put their full confidence in Christ, who is the culmination and the fulfillment of all these ceremonial laws in the Old Testament. So Paul was concerned because they were wasting their time through these rituals, thinking, I guess in the 20th century equivalent, thinking that perhaps baptism or the Lord's Supper in and of itself is going to bring us some automatic grace simply because we participated in it. But we can be just as far from God as possible and participate in these ceremonies. The important thing is if we are trusting in Jesus Christ, that is the key. But Paul was extremely concerned because the Galatians were wasting their time. Not only that, Paul was passionately concerned because the Galatians were losing their joy. I ask you today, how is your joy in the Christian life? Do you have joy? Is it a drudgery for you? Look at verse 15, where Paul, he says, "What has happened to all your joy?" The Galatians were wandering from the path, and as you might expect, you can be sure that their joy, their happiness, their contentment also would be reduced. Because as soon as you begin to wander from the path of faith, you're going to have no basis for joy. It's only through trusting in Jesus Christ where we can find a sense of fulfillment and contentment and joy. If you're relying upon anything else, if you're wandering off the path and trying to get fulfillment in any other way, forget it. it's going to be incomplete and insufficient or temporary joy. We can expect that we'll lose our joy when we begin to wander from the path of faith. And that's one indication whether you're trusting in Jesus Christ. Are you a person who is joyous? Now, I didn't say you had to wear a smile all the time. I didn't say that you always had to be light and bubbly. But down deep, in the midst of all of the light, all of life's situation that you're facing right now, are you content as a person? Do you really have a sense that everything is okay at the center? See, the Christian, the person who's on the path of faith and is trusting in Jesus Christ, no matter how big of a mountain you're facing right now, you know underneath it all that you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know that He's going to take care of you no matter what you're facing. And that you can have a sense of contentment and complete and joy in the midst of no matter what it is that you might be facing. If your joy is slipping, if you're a miserable person, if you're hard to be around, you better ask yourself, am I really on the path of faith? Am I trusting in Jesus Christ? And not just from a theoretical conceptual, but I'm talking about in day-to-day living. If we have wandered, if our joy is slipping, we need to confess to the Lord, that we are wandering from the path. We need to ask God's forgiveness if we aren't trusting in Jesus Christ fully. We need to come back to the path of continuing to put our full confidence in Him. And praying a prayer like we sang earlier in Galatians or Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Perhaps this could be your prayer this morning, right now. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. And then this part. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Paul was concerned about the Galatians, seriously concerned because their joy was waning. Also, he mentions something else here. He speaks of not only the path of faith, but he speaks of another path. In defining these rules and regulations, he speaks in verse 9. He says, but now that you know God, or rather are known by Him, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Paul was concerned because, seriously concerned about the Galatians, because they were leaning on some weak and miserable principles to help them. Again, go back to the rules and the rituals. They were thinking that somehow they were going to get benefit from these. And notice where he says, these are weak, look in verse 9, these are weak and miserable principles. That is, as they try to live out these rules, the rules are not going to help them anyway. The rules aren't going to help them. They're weak. They can't give them the power to obey, and they can't give them the strength to do God's will. Notice also he says they're miserable. These are miserable principles, miserable rules or regulations or do's or don'ts. That is, they're poverty-stricken. Rules and regulations or rituals are poverty-stricken. They're bankrupt. They can't do anything. You can lay down all of the rules, even if they're God-given in the Old Testament. They can't give any spiritual enrichment to you in and of themselves. They cannot enrich your relationship with God. Rules and rituals are like beggars and weaklings. You know, if you need a strong back to help you, you don't go to the weakest person. You don't go to some weakling to help you move a refrigerator, do you? Or if you need some money, you don't go to some beggar on the street and say, hey, how about loan me $50? Rules and rituals are like beggars and weaklings. And our strength and our spirituality comes from not from some rules as we hold them out before us and thinking we're going to get a little further along or a little enrichment here. But it comes through looking at Jesus Christ, the resurrected and living Lord, who is ever present, ever alive, and ever strong to help you. And it's through continuing in that path of faith, looking to Him, where we get what we need for this life and for the life to come. Why does God passionately call us to continue in the path of faith? Because otherwise we're wasting our time, we're trusting in some rules and regulations and rituals which are weak and ineffective to help us. It's a dead-end street. And when our faith, we start wandering from the path of faith, we lose our joy. And God's blessings are not going to come to us unless we continue in that path of faith. On the positive side, why does God call us to continue in the path of faith? On the positive side, we should continue in the path of faith because faith is a path that led you to God in the first place, isn't it? Look in verse 8, if you would. Look at the Word of God. He says, "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God." You see, faith is a path that led you to knowing God. When the Galatians heard the gospel for the first time, what did they do? They put their faith in Jesus Christ. And as they put their faith in Christ, they knew God in a personal way. The same is true for you today, isn't it? How did you come into a relationship with Christ, with God through Christ? It's whenever you believe the gospel. Some of you have a hard time remembering if you're raised in a Christian family. For others, it's a lot more obvious for us and easier to remember. We could put the date on it. Myself, somewhere in June of 1973, put my faith in Jesus Christ, came to know God. That's what was missing. There was a vacuum in my life, like your lives. You put your faith in Christ and your life came together for you. And you knew God intimately, personally. How? By faith. And that's why we need to continue in the path of faith. That's how we got to know God in the first place, in a personal way. Where he mentions in verse 8, when you did not know God, but now they knew Him, right? And that's the reason why we should continue in the path of faith. That's how we came to know God. It's a path we started out on. Notice also in verse 9, that faith is the path of freedom. Look at it. The Word of God says, "But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again?" Do you wish to be enslaved all over again? Faith is a path of freedom. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus put it this way. He said, "He has sent me to proclaim" what? Freedom. Christ was sent into the world to proclaim freedom. In John 8, verse 31, Jesus speaking to some Jewish constituents. He says, "To the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said," quote, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The reason we should continue trusting in Jesus Christ, because that's the path to true freedom, both in the world to come and now. We can live with a sense of freedom. Galatians 5:1, he says, "It is for freedom that Christ set us free." Christ frees us from a sense of guilt. He frees us from a sense that, oh man, I've got to come up, I've got to do this much more for God. The truth is, you can never do enough for God. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy God, and He's done it. He satisfied the requirements. We need to keep trusting and coming back to Him, saying, "Look, it's all been fulfilled in Him. It's all fulfilled in Him. Let me just keep trusting in Jesus Christ. That's my hope, that's my joy, that's my sense of freedom." Why are we being called to continue in the path of faith? Why is the Scripture call us from the heart for you to keep trusting in Jesus Christ? Why is it critical? Because faith is a path that got you to know God. And you want to keep knowing God, don't you? Don't wander from the path of faith, trusting in Christ. Faith is a path you started out on. Don't turn back from it, like the Galatians were tempted to do. Faith is a path for your freedom. And also, we see there's an end goal. At the very termination of the path, way down the road, we see it. At the end of the path of faith, there's a goal. There's a destination. And God's glorious goal is to transform us into the wonderful likeness of Jesus Christ. That's what God has in mind for each of you who is trusting in Christ. He wants you to keep on the path so you'll reach the destination. Look in verse 19, where Paul says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. I am in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. To put it another way, Romans 8 says this: for those God foreknew or loved beforehand, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. Or listen to the Apostle John in 1 John 3, a familiar passage, where God says these words to us. He says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known." What you're going to be, Christian, is not yet made known. Nobody's seen it. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has planned for those who love Him. But John goes on to say, what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Or Colossians 1:28, Paul says, we proclaim Him, that is Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that what? We may present everyone perfect, complete in Christ. And Paul says, to this end I labor, struggling with all His energy which so powerfully works in me. And that's what we should be, struggling and laboring until we reach that final destination, doing all we can to stay on the path of faith and to help each other keep on the path of faith, to help each other keep trusting in Jesus Christ for our sole hope in this life and the life to come. As believers, we cannot forget that we have a glorious destiny for us. We forget that destiny, we become discouraged, don't we? We begin to lose heart because we get caught up in all the struggles of this life and begin to wander from the path of faith because we lost our focus that there is a final, ultimate, glorious destiny for those who continue in the path of faith. You know, Florence Chadwick, 34 years old at the time, was attempting to swim from the California coast to the Catalina Island, 21 miles straight. She had already been the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. Well, it was just about this time of the year, 1952. It was actually 4th of July, 1952. Florence Chadwick waded out into the water. It was numbing cold that morning. And her destination was to get 21 miles straight away. 21 miles straight. First woman to ever swim that far in a straight. There was a thick fog that day, and she could barely see anything. Could hardly see her mother or sister who was in the boat or boats beside her. There were some boats nearby just in case there was a problem, or in case she needed some kind of assistance. But normally she was a pretty tough woman, and fatigue was not a problem. The cold wasn't even a problem. And so she swam hour after hour, 15 hours straight, practically numb from head to toe. And she began to wonder whether she could make it or not, because the fog was so thick and she couldn't see but just a few feet ahead. Finally, she turned to her mother or sister in the boat and said, "Take me out. Take me out. Can't make it." All she could see was a thick, dense fog. And her family was saying, "Just stick in there. Just keep going. Just try a little more. You can make it." She says, "I can't make it." So a few minutes later, they lifted her from the water and soon discovered she was only a half a mile from the coastline. And her quote, she blurted out this quote. She said, "I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen the shore, I might have made it. If I could have seen the shore, I might have made it." You know, Florence Chadwick did not continue. She dropped out, not because of the cold, not because of even the fatigue, but because of the fog. She lost sight of her destination. She lost her goal. And she gave up. Well, let us not get discouraged. Let us not get sidetracked. Let us not give up or give in. God calls you, each of you, to continue in the path of the faith, to persevere. As Hebrews 12 puts it so nicely, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. Consider Him so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. McDonald's will offer us 3-minute hamburgers. Jiffy Lube is going to be with us for a while. Speedy Muffler, drive-through banks, and they may all give you what you want quickly, and they may give you what you want immediately. But God's message to you today is to patiently persevere on the path of faith. It's a path of perseverance. God patiently calls you to continue in the path of faith, trusting in Jesus Christ with all your heart, until you finally reach that wonderful day when we'll all be changed into His glorious likeness and we'll rejoice in our wonderful discovery. If we continue in the path of faith. Let us pray. Lord, help us not to wander. Increase grace in our lives. Keep us persevering. Keep us trusting in Jesus Christ, that we may finally together reach our glorious destination. Give us grace to help keep one another on the path, even as Paul passionately was concerned about the Galatians. Give us a passion and concern for one another, reminding each other that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. Help us to discover Jesus fully on that final day. We look forward to it. In Christ's name, amen.